Well, I think that usually a good indicator of a livable city is the quality of life for the most vulnerable, which most usually are the children, the older adult, and the poor. I think that when we take a look at any city and we look at those, I think those are a really good indicator on how livable. And there are many other indicators where people, like when we talk about walkable neighborhoods, is whether people within a 10-minute walking distance can access all the basic needs. I was in Los Angeles yesterday, and some people say, oh, you know, here everybody drives. Not everybody drives. You know, even in the wealthiest neighborhoods of Los Angeles and the most rural, at least 30% of the people do not drive. You know, everyone under 17, they don't drive. And if you don't go to the wealthiest, then it's not going to be 30, but it's going to be 40 or 50 or 60%. So when I'm talking about walkable neighborhoods, it has nothing to do with the wealthy. Even in the wealthiest, creating walkable places, it's almost like a human right. It's a right to mobility.
Do you find that, I mean, cities are not concentrating as much on those things with these advents, like, cars and technology?
Yes, I think that we have been building cities for around 5,000 years, because sometimes people say, oh, you know, the streets were built for cars. No, the streets were built thousands of years before the cars even existed. But it has been only in the last 60 or 70 years that we have been building the cities thinking more on car mobility than on people's happiness. And that's where we really have to change the chip. The reality is that cities the size of Louisville all around the world have been trying to solve the issue of mobility through the private car, and none have been able to do it. So we really need to promote public transit, and public transit will never pick us up in front of our houses and drop us off in front of a destination. So we need to have walkable and bikeable so that we can make the link with public transit. So yes, I think that in many ways we have been building the city around the car with each time further and further away, more sprawl, and it's not environmentally viable to continue that way.
Well, and you're the former commissioner of parks for the city of Bogota, right? What are some of the programs you implemented while you were there?
All over North America, people say, oh, it's about the money. No, it's not about the money. Even though Bogota might have one-tenth the per capita income, but nevertheless, when I was commissioner, we built 5 metropolitan parks, about 50-some parks, and over 500 neighborhood parks. So we also did a program on Sundays that is like we open the streets to the people and close them to cars. We created a network of over 70 miles of streets that are closed from 7 a.m. till 2 p.m. for people to come out and walk or bike or skate. And we actually get over 1 million people every single Sunday of the year, which is something that is very interesting. And similar programs have been set up, because this is something that works in cities of 50,000 people or 5 million people or 10 million people. It works equally well. That's also one of the things that we need to realize.
And those are kind of base elements that can kind of be tweaked and adapted for, it sounds like, any city.
Oh, everything that I'm talking about is adapted to any city, regardless of the size, regardless if it has winter or summer. And that's why when I go to Louisville, I'm going to be showing multiple examples from many cities. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller, some of them are wealthier, some of them are poorer. But every single slide that I show is things that are doable in Louisville. If we have an open mind and we realize that it's not how to copy and paste like on a computer, but rather how to adapt and improve. Let me give you an example. In New York, they are doing a lot of interesting things through pilot projects. And the other day, a counselor from a small town in Ontario called me. This is a small city of 50,000 people in the north, almost in the North Pole. And she said, oh, Gil, I looked at what they were doing in New York, and now we have made up this park in our town. And New York is 8 million people, and this city is 50,000 people. And nevertheless, they, with the attitude of adapting and improving, they did a lot of these great things. So I think that is one of the things to keep in mind. It's not how to copy. It's not how to copy New York, but how to adapt and improve from what they were doing in New York.